Hypertime to podcast.
Welcome everyone into the Hypertime. The Hypertime to podcast. And we are here today to do our own Justice League. One that does not include Superman, one that does not include Wonder Woman, or Green Lantern, or Martian Manhunter, or any of the other characters you may have heard on our last episode. And to do that with me today is my co-host and friend, Alan Muir. Alan, how are you?
I'm ready to talk about all the ways I wrote myself into a corner.
Did you do what I did and just kind of like start picking characters and then like, how can I make these work together?
No, these are actually characters, like the characters I chose were ones that I felt they haven't gotten the recognition that I think they deserve. Out of the seven I chose, I'm fairly certain only one of them was on the actual Justice League.
Yeah, looking over, I think that might be true.
It technically wasn't, it was under a different mantle.
Mm-hmm.
But still. But what I did was I, for most of them, like for most of what I tried to do was fill in the archetypes. It's like the Batman role, the Martian Manhunter role, the Flash role, Wonder Woman, Superman. But then I decided to include some archetypes that were from the satellite era Justice League.
Mm-hmm.
It's like I'll mention one of them, John Constantine. I technically have him as the advisor on the occult, but he's the Zatanna of the team. I like back during those, back when she was on the team, and I actually came up with that aspect last minute. And I totally forgot they're a thing, and they have a history, like a very good and bad history in the DC universe.
And just John or John and
Zatanna.
Zatanna. Yeah, I always wondered if DC should just go through with it and make them a thing.
I've been watching. I've been watching clips from the 2014 Matt Ryan Constantine show.
Mm-hmm.
As well as I finally decided to pony up and watch the DC animated House of Mystery, quote unquote animated film, or it's more of like an animated short film with some other stuff with some additional things.
I don't think I've seen that short.
Did you watch the DC animated cinematic universe?
Some of them.
Did you watch the quote unquote final one?
I have not. No.
Okay. Well, basically they do a mix of, or they do like the worst possible future that they could go down, or the worst possible future that could go down. Or like that could happen, and I think it's taking bits from Dark Side War, taking bits from the World's End stuff.
Hmm.
Like Dark Side takes control of, or he gains in the Apocalypse War. He finds the what was it, the Anti-Life Equation, and like it literally goes to hell. And certain characters are half robotic, half human. And John sends Barry survives because he's the plot point. He's the main plot point. Because he's a speed, he can manipulate, or he has a time factor. He has to survive. But he sends Barry back to basically redo Flashpoint. So basically, like, redo Flashpoint and make sure this future doesn't occur. And it picks up right after, or picks up with John in the House of Mystery, not knowing how he got there. And he's the whole thing is John getting tortured and eviscerated, and there's literally a scene, like a little mini montage of him, of deaths.
Jeez.
Like, there's one with him and all his friends, but the thing about John is all his friends are dead. And there's one where him and Zatanna have kids, but they turn out to be demons, and they end up trying to eat him. It is some campy stuff, and uses his magic to find out what's really going on. He finds out that the Spectre sentenced him, or he thinks that the Spectre sentenced him to the House of Mystery as a punishment. Like, as a, you go into the thing thinking that the Spectre is the villain of the story, and at the end of the story, it ends up being that because John had Barry do Flashpoint again, which ultimately has led to the new DC animated universe, which I'm loving, by the way, that JSA film. So good. I think if I remember correctly, John ends up getting destroyed by time. If I remember, like, John is begging the Spectre to help him, save him, whatever, and he just ends up going into like an abyss thing. And I didn't like it.
I think I'm gonna check that out.
Yeah, it's worth checking it. It's only the sad thing is Matt Ryan is such a great Constantine, but only like with his stuff you want to rewatch it. With this, it's only worth watching once.
And this was one of the extras on the
No, this was an actual like thing that it's on the it's on HBO Max. I'm not sure if they actually charge money for this. Well, actually, technically they'll charge money for it if you're watching it on HBO Max. Yeah, they're charging money for this.
Huh. Well, at some point I'll watch it. Maybe after the whole... Well, assuming... I don't know what the future holds for HBO Max and all that, but... Maybe I'll see it.
But honestly... he's basically like Constantine is in an endless loop of death, and this is the thing that was announced earlier in the year or some point last year. It has had three shorts with Commandy, Blue Beetle, and Losers. Which I'm looking at the art, like they have different, like the main House of Mystery, like that whole, like they all obviously have different animations. I'm gonna send you the image they have for the Losers is, it looks, I actually want to watch it now.
Let's see here. DC Showcase. I didn't even know these were a thing.
Yeah, there's a great series, like one bunch of one they did with there was one where like they'll have like a main feature, and then like instead of having like the first like the short bits, like the shorter stuff first, they have it and then the main course. They give you the main course, then give you some one offs. Prior ones have had Green Arrow, ironically voiced by Neil McDonough, a very, very great Jonah Hex one where he's played by Tom Jane.
I think I've seen that one.
I mean, it's Jonah Hex. Everyone's seen it.
Wasn't there one with the Spectre?
Yeah, I believe so. Like, yeah, there's one Catwoman. There's one with Death. Actually, There's one with the Phantom Stranger. Like, if you just quickly glance on YouTube, like this DC showcase, they have like clips for each one. Commandy looks like a really good, like, looks like they captured the art of Jack Kirby.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, the Spectre one was from 2010, and there's actually like the Blue Beetle one has like a Batman 66 theme song or intro song, and it's animated in the exact same, like the Question shows up and it's done in that campy style. Like, if anything, I feel terrible saying this. Actually, no, it's more of a like the 60s Spider-Man cartoon. Like, with detailed art, but with like acting, like, or having like very cheap animation, or with going for that aesthetic. There's just so many good ones. Like,
yeah, I'm sitting here looking at the Commandy one, and just by looking at it, it gives me, yeah, Jack Kirby and a little bit of the like Batman Brave and the Bold.
Yeah,
cartoon.
There's another one. There's an Adam Strange one, not on this one, but from like 2 years ago. It's just so good.
Well, since we've started talking about one of the characters, shall we just get into our list?
Yeah.
And would you like to start with, I guess, Constantine? Do you want to just go ahead and continue on with him as to why you think he would be good on the team?
Yeah, listeners, I don't mean to go on tangents every episode, but he's really the big name of the supernatural side of the DC universe, mainly due to the Keanu Reeves movie and Matt Ryan, like his resurgence, in pop culture, like not just among comic book fans. You could bring in. And I'm not saying this because there was an episode of the Constantine TV show that had the character on it, but basically every character I chose has, you can bring in their, like, the supporting characters or like the different pockets of the DC universe they come from, they're part of. And with John, you can bring in Etrigan. You can bring in, actually, I would really love to see just, they had, it was one of the Constantine animated movies, Dr. Destiny. And in this potential story, I would like to see him be drawn in the style of, I have to look up the actor's name because he was.
What was he starring in?
He was on Lost, like season four. Like season 4 to 5. Oh, Jeremy Davies.
Pull us up here.
He looks like he could show up in a Vertigo comic.
Oh yes, he does.
And he was, like I said, he was both on the Constantine show and the animated thing. And the way they spun it was like, rather than having it be like having Dr. Destiny be John D in the Arrowverse version, which I'm just lumping that in because it's technically, once Constantine showed up, it became, he was dubbed, his version, his stuff was dubbed the Arrowverse. Like, his stuff was brought into the fold. He got to play Dr. Destiny twice, which I just, both in animated form and live action, as he played Richie Sampson on the Constantine show. And as much as I hate, or as much as I'm like, I'm not the biggest fan of David Goyer for what happened with Batman v Superman, Man of Steel.
Mm-hmm.
He's great with everything but dialogue. Like the Constantine show was when also one of the many appearances of Dr. Fate's helmet, and no Dr. Fate. But honestly, each character I chose is a link to either a certain corner of the DC universe or a certain aspect within the DC universe or a part of the multiverse. You could do mix and match. I'll mention another character I chose, Bart Allen, because I feel like he should have been on the Justice League. I don't think he ever was.
Yeah, I was trying to think if he was on there after Infinite Crisis, but I don't think he was. I mean, he was only around for like 12 issues before they killed him off, but
yeah, and I was actually looking at the first volume of his series of Flash. I didn't realize that at first I thought it was just a writer thing. Like if they're involved with a certain piece of media, they'll try to shoehorn in their creations.
Mm-hmm.
Like with, I think you know where I'm going with this. Bilson and DeMeo, who were the showrunners for the John Wesley Shipp Flash show, brought in or added a character they created for the show, Tina McGee, to the post-crisis pre-Flashpoint DC universe. And she was there for like a hot minute. And when I was reading, when Andrew Kreisberg, like he was writing Green Arrow, because like for a brief period, it was at the time that Arrow was running, and he brought in Hal Diggle and Felicity Smoke, which made me feel like I was reading the Flash season zero. Like I ate it up because it was during the period where Arrow was really good. Like I think it was between the DC YOU period, like where they tried like the in between period between New 52 and Rebirth. But yeah, Bart Allen deserved to be on the team.
Yeah, and I think he deserved just a longer chance as Flash in the first place.
When I first started reading DC, like regular issue, like single issue comics, I was reading Jeff Johns and Francis Menopole's run on Flash leading into Flashpoint.
Mm-hmm.
But I ended up catching up on what was like, I caught up on Rebirth or Flash Rebirth, and then like the stuff that followed. Like, I really liked Bart Allen. Then I assumed that it was Bart Allen in, there was the Kid Flash Lost, Flashpoint tie-in, where Patty Spivot and Bart are taken by Brainiac, I liked it for what it was, and then I just hate talking about it because it then leads to Bartor, like when in New 52, when something happened with Barry and there's like a standoff conversation between him and Bart, like saying, why are you saying that? I'm not sure if he had been using Kid Flash motto or the Kid Flash name at that point. And like the New 52 Teen Titans, they had him displayed as Bart Allen, and they had an established character name with a character that wasn't even the same character, just the name, just the name, nothing else. He was a fugitive from the future, and he ended up becoming a villain. But I honestly, looking at your list, I see what you're doing. Like the only one I have to ask why is not trying to character assassinate or poke fun at the art, like mock the character, but why Plastic Man?
I love Plastic Man. So the way I kind of designed my team, I kind of did the same thing. I wanted to have like my own trinity of sorts that matched those characters, but then I wanted to try and find characters that would help flesh out the team in other respects.
For Plastic Man, it'd be like the comedic aspect of the league.
the comedic aspect, plus he has those ties with the criminal underground due to his time as a criminal. And so I thought that could lead to some interesting stories where he has certain insider knowledge or able to infiltrate areas that maybe they forgot Plastic Man knew about, because who cares about what Plastic Man knew, and tie that in with who I had as my Batman, who you had as your Batman too, our Nightwing. I think Plastic Man and Nightwing could work really well together in terms of kind of like infiltrating enemy bases and just all that kind of stuff. So yeah, I tried to pick characters that would kind of lead to both different storytelling aspects, but could work well with certain other teammates. But yeah, I love Plastic Man. I love what they did with him in JLA, both like from when Grant brought him on all the way to like Joe Kelly and all this. I just thought they used him in very interesting ways. I thought he led to some very interesting battles. And they've always kind of tried to find ways to make him a more important character than I think a lot of people think of him as. Even like during, was it Metal? Where he was like the egg or something like that?
Yeah, I think so. I believe so.
Yeah, so like, I think they've always tried to use Plastic Man in very interesting ways. And with his like ability to shapeshift. And they've always kind of made him out to be like one of the most deadly characters in the DCU if he really wanted to be a complete menace. And I don't know, I just found it always fascinating to have him in there.
Did you ever read the I know, again, it's a Flashpoint tie-in, but there was a like, it was a, I can't remember what the name of it was, but it was basically like a prison
yes,
like a creation. Just the one thing that still haunts me is that image of Plastic Man wrapped around Buddy Baker like a snake.
Yeah, I see it here. They gave him almost like that, like when they made Parallax that villain or whatever. Yeah. When he would take over a body, how they would give him like an elongated face with like razor sharp teeth and everything. Yeah, they did. That was an area where they really showed kind of like how messed up Plastic Man could get.
Yeah.
Cause there's like a scene where he was like hiding inside of a person. And I want to say like the whole breakout scene was like him basically stretching himself out of the person's mouth and like, yep, I'm here to break everyone out or something like that. He like just kills the person by like unstretching himself from like, I don't know if he was just like hiding in his stomach or what, but yeah, it was messed up.
So wait, do we actually say all like our picks?
I was thinking we could go one by one, but if you think we should just kind of name all of ours at once, then we can kind of talk about them.
Yeah. Like I'm looking at an article from Screen Rant of all places. Of 15 iconic characters who never joined the Justice League, and some of the, or at least two or three of characters that we both chosen have not been on the team. So, a character that I technically put as the wrong like archetype, and that is Static. I realized actually that he could fit in the Kyle Rayner role.
Mm-hmm. That's what I was thinking.
Yeah, like rookie, but instead of having incredible amount of doubt and being unsure of himself that Kyle was, Static would be the opposite.
You know, I think similar to Kyle and Wally, I think both Static and Bart would get along pretty well too.
Yeah, and I mean technically in the Young Justice like universe, both these characters end up on at the end of season two, like between seasons two and three of Young Justice. It's kind of hard to explain because like season three of Young Justice has heavily focuses on Black Lightning, and he was like the Black Lightning was basically teaching, like, the teacher for Static, which I know, like, that the current Milestone universe is walled off, but I would love to read, like, a with Icon and Rocket.
Mm-hmm.
But honestly, they could even just reuse the Lightning Saga name, like, take a name from a underwhelming Justice League and JSA crossover, and I imagine that is that's something that I could definitely have seen Jeff Johns doing, like
bringing back Static or something.
Not doing that back then. Doing that like 10, 15 years from now.
Mm.
But honestly, I'm surprised myself that I didn't choose anyone. Actually, no. Damn it, I did. We both did. We both picked someone from the JSA.
Yes, we did.
Because, and I'm just going to say this character because this character that's listed on the Screen Rant, because the character has no place on has zero place on the Justice League. Johnny Thunder. Yeah, I know.
There's a reason. Stupid Johnny. He was replaced by someone much better.
Yeah, Joaquim.
Yeah.
It says his only real encounter with Justice League was during Crisis on Infinite Earths. Yeah, whoever wrote this article, like, most of these characters that are on this list are JSA characters. So,
is there anyone on there that we have on ours?
Should I just say them?
Yeah, go ahead and list what Screen Rant. It was Screen Rant, right?
Yeah. Wait, am I naming the ones that show up on our lists?
Whichever one you want.
Okay, so Static, Mr. Terrific, Bart Allen, and that's mainly it. Like, and there are certain characters here that, again, don't belong because of this list. Number 15, Jonah Hex.
I mean, there's probably multiple reasons why Jonah Hex is not on the Justice League. Oh, God, Screen Rant. Why is it Commandy on the Justice League?
Honestly, this list has Thunderbolt, Sandy Hawkins, which actually that would actually be I'd like to see that character on the Justice League, because like he sort of has the grifter effect where his design from the head up is brilliant.
Mm-hmm.
Plus he carries the legacy of Wesley Dodds. The characters that show up here on this list are either Teen Titans or JSA, like Raven, Bart, Wildcat, Mr. Terrific. Somehow Jason Todd ended up on this list.
Well, I guess Screen Rant did. I mean, they made a pick that both of us had on there too. We both of us had Mr. Terrific.
Yeah,
down to be on JLA.
Like Tim Drake is also listed. I wouldn't actually take the current DC Universe Tim Drake. I take the Tim Drake that was the future version of Tim Drake from the alternate future. Like,
we're talking about like Titans of Tomorrow.
No, Future's End. Future's End. Tim Drake, because it's like it's a bit of like Future Trunks, but like having him more like aged up, whereas Future Trunks, I was telling my sister this. It's been such a slog going through Super that I don't know if Future Trunks still exists.
I was gonna say, how far have you gotten?
I think I was at the. I'm trying to. I made it to the Super Dragon Balls, like that point in the story.
Okay, where was the like tournament between Universe 6 and Universe 7?
Yeah. Like keep, with Beerus and Ciampa.
Okay, keep going. I can't remember if it was right after that, but you will get your answer there. I want to say it's right after that.
Yeah, the only my only problem with the whole thing is I'm on Behold Universe 6. This is the Super Saiyan Son Goku.
Mm-hmm.
Also, I'm just saying this has nothing to do with what we're talking about, but Hit has shown up. Like, Hit is there, but I don't get why everyone's so fascinated by him. I imagine it has to do with this time skip ability.
I think that's typically it. I don't know. I'm not crazy about Hit. I think he kind of has a semi-cool look to him with, like, the weird-looking trench coat thing he has going on. I'm not so fond of his penis-looking head, but... Like, I don't know, he's basically an assassin for hire, and there is like one cool scene much later in the series with him where you get to see him actually take a job. There's actually a couple scenes with it, which is kind of cool. And then he has a pretty good moment in the Universe survival arc at the very end, the Tournament of Power. But yeah, in general, I've never been super crazy about Hit.
Okay, I'm literally at, like, I'm like 15 episodes away from Goku Black.
That is where you'll get your answer about Trunks.
Yeah, because there's a great, like, Team Four Star who did Dragon Ball Z Abridged, did like some super abridged stuff, and it's like, it's Goku and Vegeta in. Like, it's at that point in the arc. I only know the repeated scenes I've watched over and over. But it's just Vegeta going, just because your hair's blue doesn't mean you're a goddamn Super Saiyan God.
Yeah, I mean, we both had Mr. Terrific on there. And so what was your reasoning to have him on the team?
Well, as I said, like, I'm having them... Where is he in terms of... IQ in terms of...
Yeah, in terms of brains, I mean, I don't know where he is currently in the DCU, but yeah. I know around the time of Infinite Crisis, he was supposedly the third smartest man on the planet.
Yeah, and in in the Terrifics, which I love so much. Have you read that, by the way?
I have not. I really want to, though.
It's great. It's Jeff Lemire starts off the book. Then Gene Yang takes over. But it's just a blatant Fantastic Four.
That's what it looked like, yeah.
Yeah, like, and Mr. Terrific playing the role of Mr. Fantastic. Again, just throwing it out there. Doing the whole, like, dead focus, dead staring straight ahead. And not, like, trying to make it look like you're not... out of your peripheral vision to look, see if the person, like if the other company is looking at you, seeing what you're doing. But honestly, I have him in the. This could be because, part of this is the influence that Justice League Unlimited had on me. I had him in the Martian Manhunter archetype, like where. In JLU, I think it was the second or third season, when he takes over for Jean. If you think about it, you gotta know what you're doing if you're who to send out, when to send them out, and where to send them out, and have to worry, and keeping in mind history, personal history between characters. But this is pretty much just reading way too much into things. But I think he would make he has a great design.
He has an amazing design. I love his look.
It sort of got wasted on Arrow.
Oh, I'm going to look that up. Oh, I don't.
You'll be disappointed.
I don't know if I want to look. Yeah, like you had him down as the Martian Manhunter. I took him as the. I want him to be my Steel. In this one. So I want him to be the one who would oversee like the security of the headquarters. I want him to be, you know, heavily tech oriented. You know, he was very, I know it was in the New 52, he was able to wasn't he able to traverse like the multiverse? Isn't he part of the reason like Earth 2?
Oh, yeah, it was actually in Dark Knight's Metal.
Mm-hmm.
He shows up. There's a mention of like kind of nice of you to join us from interdimensional like or nice of you to join us from Earth 2. And it's like, oh my god, they're actually referencing it. Also, just keep in mind, Mr. Jeffrick was a part of Checkmate.
Mm-hmm.
So he has the ability to be a key player. And
yeah, I was trying to think, was he the one of the kings in Checkmate?
Yeah, he was the White Bishop and then the White King.
Mm. I thought he was the Black King, but that would be a little too on the nose.
Yeah. Yeah, I noticed that we literally, both the characters we chose, like that are on both teams, are the ones that have no powers.
Yep. Well, there's one thing about Mr. Terrific, which is the other reason I wanted him on this team, is that he is, again, I don't remember if this is something that continued to carry on throughout New 52 and later, but at least pre-Flashpoint, he had the ability to remain undetectable to, like, machinery and stuff, to tech and all that, which I thought could be an interesting way to have him as, like, the main hero anytime, like, say, Brainiac were to come in, or Amazo, or the Calculator, or, you know, all these other villains that will utilize technology as their main effort to take down the League. I thought he would be the nice kind of foil to kind of get past some of that stuff. Like, I don't know if there's ever been a story with him and Amazo in it, but how would a android who takes over the Justice League powers take over someone that he technically shouldn't be able to see or even know is there? Like, I don't know. Just stuff like that I thought could be very interesting ways to tell stories with him as part of the League.
I mean, again, this is pre-Flashpoint, pre-New 52, pre-Rebirth. Retro-Nail was able to detect him.
I can't remember. Does Red Tornado have a soul, though? Red Tornado has always been one of those ones I've never understood.
Yeah, I'm on the DC fandom page, and his tactical analysis is part of his abilities, his skill set.
Hmm.
Then again, any of the characters we just mentioned, or most of the characters, have multi superlatives.
Like they can fit into different roles on the team?
Yeah.
Well, let me bring up someone who I think will share a similar role and who are very, very closely similar, but just slightly different. And that is the person we have filling in for Wonder Woman.
Oh, yeah. So the thing is, what I was trying to do with mine is get characters who weren't, to my knowledge, who hadn't been on the team, or if they had been on a Justice League team, not really the main Justice League.
Mm.
Whereas technically Mr. Terrific was part of the JLI.
Yep.
Like Captain Atom, Zatanna, technically Nightwing, but it was under a different name. But go ahead with character you chose.
Yeah, so to fill Wonder Woman in, who's pretty similar, and I guess depending on what time of her history you decide to pick from, Donna Troy. And she was the one that I was starting to be like, I think I'm going very similar to James Robinson's JLA, and I don't even, that was not intended. But Donna is someone who I think would work well with Nightwing as a leader. Not just because they have a history together, but because, I don't know, they just feel like they would work extremely well in a way that Batman and Wonder Woman don't quite work. But I also think she is able to add in, again, a different sort of storytelling with her connection to the, again, her history is so convoluted, and I was wondering whether or not to even add her on because of it. But like the Titans of Myth and her kind of weird backstory with Themyscira and all of that sort of stuff, I feel opens up a lot of different story options in terms of villains that could come in. I want to say, was there a Lords of Chaos, and all of that too is tied in with her. But yeah, I just, Dawn's one of those characters I've always wanted to see just kind of in the forefront in a way she's never really stayed in. Like, she'll like come in from time to time, and there's someone else on my list who I feel the same way, who they'll try and push a little forward, and then she's just kind of quickly swept off the board.
So I'm going to send you a picture. I really wish Zencastr had an app so I could, because this honestly makes Discord, it makes it much easier when I'm doing podcasts with Graydon or Emmett. Like, it just, like, it's a panel, it's a page from Justice League 60 for the last issue before all the titles were canceled.
Mm-hmm.
Where it's her and Batman, but not the Batman that everyone's used to.
Yeah.
Just saying, like considering what happens to her, like her from Flashpoint to New 52, it's basically her and Dick, like they're the last two to leave, and say like, so, do you think they'll remember us? I think it's breaking the fourth wall, but in a not in a like humorous like Deadpool way or She-Hulk way, and think they'll remember this version of the JLA and all that we did. And Derek responds with, "Who can say? We did what we could with what we were given, and I'm proud. I'll remember other people. Honestly, who cares? It's not why I'm in this anyway. And frankly, Don, I don't think you were either." And she even says, "I want the world to forget Donna Troy ever existed. I'm certainly going to best disappear." And it's really sad because, like Dick says, it's been a blast, Don, but all things must end. And honestly, I don't know, I'm sorry, listeners, I've been using that word too much this episode, but I'm very tired. It felt like considering where both these characters began, like going from Teen Titans, Titans, it's like seeing, I'm going to use baseball because it's the best way, like the best way I can say this, and it's actually a Keith Olbermann quote. It's basically seeing the journey of the greatest player of all time. But in this case, it's greatest, like it's one of the greatest stories of all time, or like the greatest characters and stories of all time.
It just feels like the right evolution of their characters to go from Teen Titans to Titans to the JLA. And unfortunately, it was the JLA that had so many editorial issues behind it. And then they had to go through the reboot. It's just...
Yeah. And I was actually, because my sisters are going to Comic-Con next month.
Mm-hmm.
I plan on giving my sister a bunch of like money, giving her a set amount of money to try to find like good deals on trades. And like half, I had like 10, 15 things written down were New 52 related. Now I have only 3. I'll have you know, though, I have Final Night on that list.
Final Night, yes. That was definitely a different take for an event.
Yeah. Oh, I forgot to mention this on the screen rant. That screen rant. Iconic characters never been on the JLA or the Justice League. Number one, Jim Gordon. Stay classy, screen rant.
I too am mad when Maggie Sawyer doesn't show up on my JLA team. Harvey Bullock, where are you? Okay, so on the flip side, Donna, you had
Wonder Girl.
Another Wonder Girl.
Cassie Sansmark. And I also realized that my team is sort of young adult, a bunch of them from different realities.
Mm-hmm.
And I know, I have a feeling, I don't think she'll because of the war on woke, as they call it, or the war against diversity, as incels call it.
The war on empathy and common and, decency.
Yeah. Like, this is basically, like, my list is basically a fantasy team that I don't think will ever happen. Like, John Constantine, technically through proxy, has been on the JLA, or been on the Justice League.
But he's also a character that doesn't exactly work well with teams, usually. Yeah.
That's why I have him as advisor on the occult.
Like, yeah.
He's sort of like a part-timer, or not even a part-timer, a semi-timer. Like, he'll pop in when they really need him. I actually realized that this could have actually worked out for me if I put Tim Drake on the list.
Mm-hmm.
Because they could be, there are so many ways that this could be, like, this is actually a really good plan of, like, this episode plan was brilliant, because there are so many different characters you can insert in different slots. Like, I could have had Tim Drake be the tactician.
Yep.
And also, certain characters tend to fluctuate between hero and villain. Such as Harley Quinn, who is, imagine, one of the four pillars now of DC Comics.
Which is so weird to think about.
Yeah, like, it's Batman, Wonder Woman, Superman, all characters made over 80 years ago. Harley Quinn, 30 years.
And was basically an abuse victim for a good chunk of that.
Yeah, and like... I know it can have been Adam Glass who insisted on having, like, I know that there has to be someone either at DC or who was at DC, because, well, the stuff that happened in 2020 with the mass firings. I just like to know who it was decided to, like, who made, like, the chess move. Someone who, like, just said, have Harley Quinn on the team. Chess move. and that just leads to the Adam Glass's Suicide Squad run.
Yeah, I think Harley would fit with Suicide Squad, but she's kind of like in the same league that I would put Jason Todd in at this point. Like, I can see her getting along well enough with heroes, but I just can't see them on a Justice League team. It's like Punisher being on the Avengers. I just can't see it.
Yeah. It's sad because it's the only way, or it's the only... Like, I don't know if you've read the series, because it's the entire Injustice saga.
Mm-hmm.
Like, have you read the whole thing? Like, year zero to...
Was it year five?
Well, there was...
It gets a little wonky with the...
Yeah, but like, there's Injustice, Injustice, Gods Among Us, year zero... With the JLA or the JLA and the JSA, which I still have not read, but I really want to read. Then like year zero to five, then there's like the comic, the tie-in comic that Tom Taylor did. It wasn't Tom Taylor. May have been Tom Taylor at the beginning, but
yeah, if I remember right, someone fills in for Tom Taylor.
Brian Buccolato.
That sounds right. Up. Yeah.
Yeah, because he was. Him and Francis Manapul were heading up Flash for most of New 52, and then eventually Detective Comics. But yeah, like, Harley Quinn works best like reformed and in other media.
Yeah,
because if I had to choose, like, in terms of like who's written her the best, it had to be a tie between Jimmy Palmiotti and Amanda Connor. Like, that, the New 52 and then Rebirth, like, their run, like, with the character was not what I expected.
I read some of their stuff. It was really good.
Yeah, I think there was a joke with a hand amputation that I wasn't expecting. I'm trying to remember who wrote the, like, Injustice 2 story. like the actual game story. Oh, no, it was Ed Boon, if I remember.
Let's see, video game?
No, I was wrong. I'm wrong. Brian Chard, Dominic, okay, John Vogel, John Greenberg, Sean Kittleson.
I don't know if she's ever done it, but I think Gail Simone would be a great writer for Harley Quinn. I'm trying to think if she's ever had a chance to do that.
Damn it. Thought I had that answer already known, but I got stuff mixed up. I was thinking Gotham City Sirens.
Mm-hmm.
But no, that was Paul Dini.
Which was, I liked Gotham City Sirens. But yeah, if you had Gail Simone add Harley Quinn to like the Birds of Prey or something, like I'll take that. Add her into Secret Six.
Oh God. Don't even get me started on how good that Secret the second Secret Six, the DCU Secret Six was. Like at this point, I'm scared to look up if anything new has happened because I'm so behind on my comics.
Same here.
I'm so tired. I don't remember who I haven't talked about yet. Can I talk about the team leader?
Yeah.
My team leader. So mine is a character that was, he's not used as much as I like, as I'd like. His other half is used as, he's used more.
And I feel like your team leader does not get used unless their other half is there with them.
Yeah, and the character I'm talking about is Apollo of the Authority / Stormwatch / I didn't get a chance to read like Prime Apollo.
I never did either.
I'm kind of glad I didn't, if I'm remembering things right. Was it Warren Ellis who was behind most of that? Like, I know it was Warren Ellis and Brian Hitch. Or at least Brian Hitch, who, like, the widescreen comics concept.
Like, back during The Authority?
Yeah.
Yeah, Brian Hitch and, I want to say, Warren Ellis.
I just still can't believe that there's going to be, that Wildcats is coming back.
Is it?
Yeah.
Hmm.
You'd think that, with Jim Lee being in the position he's in at DC right now, you'd think that he'd be interested in bringing them back.
Bleeding more of his past work into current DC stuff?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I know that Grant Morrison was supposed to... I think they released... Or they worked on an issue that was very much like hyped up. And then there was thing else in the period afterward. Yeah, Wildcats is coming back, being written by Matt Rosenberg, and I forgot I had already read this synopsis like this solicitation, like the beginning stuff is gonna be them taking on the Court of Owls.
Perfect.
Yeah, and Matt Rosenberg. That is a great thing for him to do. And there's also Waller vs. Wildstorm, which is going to be a 4-issue Black Label book. And this is like Evan Narcisse and Spencer Ackerman, who is a national security reporter, are co-writing. And it's set during the Cold War, and Jackson King is involved. And Evan Narcisse is writing the, it says here he's writing Gotham Knights, and it's being pitched as Sleeper and Stormwatch with DC's Deathstroke, Checkmate, and Suicide Squad. And then there's gonna be like some, yeah, like the Wildcats. I have to send you this Wildcats cover because it looks so good. It seems to be spinning out of the current stuff with Batman.
Yeah, I was trying to look it up. It seems like it came from, what was it, Urban Legends? Is that what the...
Yeah, it has no right looking this good. It's never been a better time to be to read comics. And then there's going to be a 30th anniversary special. And like every single, like all these variant covers look terrific. There's one of I'm going to send this one of Apollo Midnighter.
Yeah, I like that one.
But yeah, you could have what I imagine this team would be with Apollo leading it. And again, he's there because he's filling the archetype of Superman, even though he's a much different take on Superman. Like, I remember reading the New 52 Stormwatch series. I can't remember if it was in Stormwatch or Action Comics. I know Grant Morrison, I think it was Grant Morrison, had they're hyping up Apollo in Stormwatch by him, like a viral fight that he had with Superman, and that he had beaten Superman.
I was going to say, I don't remember him at all in Action Comics, and I only read a few issues of Stormwatch.
Yeah, it was one of those things where Paul Cornell, as I'm pretty sure we've discussed this on a previous episode, but there was a big turnover of writers with the New 52. Like, Grant Morrison, Geoff Johns, like a bunch of writers whose books made it to, like, after a certain amount of issues, like 16 issues. No, 18 issues. They like Grant left Action after they did three volumes. Geoff Johns left Aquaman after 18 issues. Same thing with Green Lantern. James Robinson, it was editorial like differences, which is, I think, that's the same reason that Gail Simone left. Or is there was some reason, something that happened with her, like Andy Diggle was there for a hot minute before he peaced out. But I imagine this team would be, my team would be more operating like in the shadows, like having styles clash. If characters like Static, Wonder Girl, and Bart, like sort of like you have them having like a little trio, Nightwing, Mr. and Curtis just doing their own thing, and John just barely even being, like, I imagine like just John being drunk.
Him passed out on their conference table or whatever every once in a while.
Yeah, but then there's that thing with John Constantine, how, I don't know if it's an urban legend, I'm pretty sure it is, that like people who have ridden John Constantine have quote unquote encountered John Constantine. Like, there's a story with like pretty much everyone who's ridden the character for like a long period of time, like Alan Moore. I want to say Garth Ennis, but yeah, while I search for this article, because it's actually the article I'm trying to find is actually worth reading. Like, it's really good. Like, the stories and stuff. How would your team operate as opposed to my team, like, operating in the shadows, butting heads?
Mine I envision to be more just standard Justice League, but I want them to try and find ways to work together and maybe even improve each other. So, for example, I do have Zatanna on my team. Obviously, she's the magic user, similar to your Constantine, just opening up that new realm of possibilities in storytelling that I felt Grant didn't really want to delve into, even though he kind of got there in some of his stories with, like, Captain Marvel and Fifth Dimension and all that kind of stuff. But one of my things I've always disliked about Zatanna is that anytime they want to kind of write her out of a story, they have someone, you know, take away her mouth, or, oh, she's unable to speak or anything, and she basically becomes useless in a way. And so
like the Black Bolt issue?
Yeah. So basically I wanted her to have help from like Nightwing or Donna or Mr. Terrific, who could teach her different like skills that, like, hey, if someone takes away your main power source, you have other ways to both defend yourself or utilize these other abilities that we can teach you to, you know, not be written out of this story essentially until, you know, you get your voice back or your mouth back or whatever. But yeah, I just try to find different ways that they could each do something special. Like I have Captain Atom because I did want a couple heavy hitters on the team like Martian Manhunter or Superman were. But Captain Atom, with him being the kind of military man, I could see him also working as like a diplomat between the Justice League and other nations as well, which is something I always feel like they tried to do with Wonder Woman from time to time and occasionally Aquaman, but he was always kind of the more awkward kind of diplomat of the two. But yeah, with him and like Donna Troy working together. So I always try to find like different sort of like tag teams on this team to bounce off of each other. So like Plastic Man, Nightwing, or Zatanna and say Mr. Terrific, Donna Troy and Captain Atom. I also have Power Girl on my team, who is obviously going to be my Superman analog here. And much like Donna Troy, I feel like she's one of those characters that DC has constantly tried to do something with, whether it was the Power Girl series that, again, Palmiotti and Connor were on. Even Geoff Johns tried it around the time of Infinite Crisis. They had the Power Girl Huntress story with, I think, was it Paul Levitz who wrote that?
Oh, that's so ironic. I was going through my comics, I'm storing away more of my comics. Like I went through and found a bunch of like really good condition, like World's Finest, like Power Girl, Huntress issues.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Power Girl. I mean, she's been on the Justice League teams back in like the 90s and everything. Early 90s, but she was also pregnant at the time, and that kind of limited what all they would do with her. They had her on the JSA for a little bit there, so they've constantly tried to do something with her, so I'm like, just move her up to the big leagues, let her be the Superman character there, and like let her really come into her own in a way that she hasn't maybe ever fully. So yeah, I want her on the league. I think having Nightwing there is kind of also a great character for her to bounce off of. I think Plastic Man would get under her skin in a lot of fun ways. Preferably not the sort of creepy way that he would do with Wonder Woman. Like pretend to be a dress for her thing. But yeah, I think a lot of the personalities on this team would make for a fun read. I think they each kind of open up different elements of the DC universe to tell interesting stories. I think they each have their own kind of perks about them that lead to different areas that they excel in. Whether it's, you know, the tech side with Mr. Terrific or the kind of military, like tactician almost with Captain Atom, Zatanna with the magic. We've mentioned him several times, but we haven't really like sat down and talked about him yet, is Nightwing. Like for me, I have him as the main leader because throughout at least my time reading, they've always made Nightwing out to be like the one that everyone trusts. The character that every hero likes you, every hero trusts you. There's not a Superman around, you're the person we would rather have in charge. Because he kind of seems like a good blend between Superman and Batman. Like, he has kind of the skills of Batman, but he has that very kind of more lighthearted and just kind of true-to-self personality of Superman. And so Nightwing has always been a character I've really loved and I think would make a great leader, but not under the Batman mantle like he was for a bit there.
Yeah, I mean, it's fitting that he's seen that way, considering he was at least the first main sidekick.
Yeah.
And with all the team-ups, I don't really want to imagine a team-up from based on the Golden Age era books we've talked about, just due to the writing, how that would be, like, from a biographical standpoint. Being with two-thirds of the Trinity, it makes perfect sense that I imagine like Dick is prior to John Kent, before he grows up, like during the period where he's still a kid. I imagine he's what Clark or the Superman, like in the Golden Age era, what he would see as a like as a nephew.
Mm-hmm. I also think it's funny, like, I'm trying to think of another character that has basically trained as many heroes as he has. Like, he's the leader with Teen Titans, he was leader with Titans, he's the leader a little bit with the JLA, and, like, a lot of the people he's worked with have went on to other things. Like, Cyborg became a staple for the JLA, Wally became a staple with the JLA, but he's always just kind of been either his own thing or one of the lesser team leaders, and I don't know, it's always felt weird to me that he never made that jump and stayed there. Have you seen the cover art for Dark Crisis 7?
No, it will spoil anything?
I don't know. Like, they just revealed it, and it seems to indicate that something is going to happen with Nightwing. But I don't know what. And I'm worried.
Okay.
But I don't know if I should be worried or not, or if I should be excited for what may happen.
It's hard to tell because I keep getting ads for, like, different each one. Like, there's... I keep seeing the one for the George Perez tribute. Like, I don't know. I'm not sure which one is the one that you're talking about. Oh, no, wait, no, that's not it. Oh, I just saw the Dark Crisis 2 cover. I mean, I imagine that something will happen.
And supposedly Tom Taylor's been working with Williamson. So whatever is going on with Nightwing, they're both, you know, the writer behind the event and the writer behind the main book are supposedly in close talks with whatever is going to happen with Nightwing.
Oh, like the Dawn of the DCU?
Yeah.
Is it the, like, is it him looking in, like, a very religious person?
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, man. This is some heavy stuff.
Yes, I'm not. So yeah, I don't know what to make of that. But at the same time, like, I feel like Dick is in a place where he needs to get elevated to that next level to be like one of the top tier heroes there alongside Batman as opposed to just underneath him. And I'm hoping that's what Dark Crisis 7 does. But not
in a negative way.
You didn't happen to see the variant that Viktor Bogdanovich did, right?
I don't think so.
I'd send it to you, or no? I'll put it in the Discord. I don't know if this what this could mean. I imagine it's more of a calling back to a certain thing that happened, but since I have no context for Dark Crisis, like I still have not read, I haven't even gotten a chance to read Justice League 75.
Mm.
Like I've not even got a chance to read the thing they did with Dark Knight and Dark Knight's Metal, or Dark Knight's Metal and Dark Knight's Death or Death Metal, like the two tie-ins.
Yeah, I'm curious to see how it plays out. There's some heavy stuff in there, especially with, yeah, there's just some stuff in there. I don't want to spoil it. But Nightwing is a very prominent part in that series, so they're definitely leading up to something with him. It's just a matter of what. It is late for both of us. I have a feeling my son is still awake upstairs and he has school in the morning because he refuses to do this by himself. So unless there's something else to add, I can take us to the outro here.
I'm looking at the solicitation for issue 7 of Dark Crisis, like the Dark Army.
Mm.
I'm just assuming based on this, the George Perez tribute cover. Oh, okay. Yeah. You may want to pick up this, the George Perez cover. Like, it has a who's who of artists. Like, it has everyone from Klaus Janson to Daryl Banks to Dave Gibbons to Scott Kolbisch to Phil Jimenez.
Jeez.
They even got Todd McFarlane.
God.
And with that's the best way to leave it out with me. Just losing my mind over Dark Crisis.
Then yes, let's take it into the outro then. And I might go read some more Dark Crisis before bed.
I may just stay up again. And like fall asleep reading. Like, I'll probably just fall asleep with the issue half open in my lap. Like, that's what happened yesterday.
All right, if you like what you hear with this podcast, please rate and review. But more importantly, share it, whether it's on Twitter or forums or Reddit or friends, whatever.
Or 4chan. I know.
No. Keep us away from there. I don't want them people.
Share it. Just somehow create an audio file, create visible audio files, and just leave them on the sidewalk, on park benches.
Burn us to CDs and all that. Just leave them out there.
I'm just imagining the iconic scene with John. What's his name? He has the boombox over his head.
Oh my God, John Cusack.
Yeah. And instead of him playing the, like, whatever song it was, the ramblings of two crazy comic book fans.
Speaking of ramblings, you can catch our ramblings over on Twitter. The Hypertime Twitter is HypertimePod. My personal Twitter is jmilly99. Alan, what is yours?
So, my Twitter is... Can I just say what my... I think I nailed it with what I have as my current Twitter nickname or presentation name.
Sure, go ahead.
You can find me at the Alan Muir, which the first thing you'll see is Alan Muir can't think of it currently, which that just captures my whole aesthetic.
And is there a specific
Alan's tweet of the bye week?
Yeah. More or less around 11 a.m. to 12 p.m. playing some Dead Space 1 on Series X, and this game with the Rock GIF from Jumanji going, I love this game. Or it could be Rampage. It's hard to tell because I think it's Jumanji. It's hard to tell because it looks like it could be from either one.
Yeah, I would say Jumanji, but I don't know. That's the problem with The Rock and acting, is there's so many that just look the same.
Oh my God, I'll let you know about this. It has nothing to do with comics. It has to do with games. It's just something I was not expecting to see today.
We'll take that off air here. And so with that, we will bid you adieu, and ideally we will see you back here in the next few weeks. Catch us then further down the Hypertime. Take care. Bye.
This has been a VGU.TV production. For all of the hottest hot takes and other opinions on video games, music, and a lot more, tune in to VGU.TV.